And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Chris Vaccaro Show with your host, Chris Vaccaro, and his sidekick, Nando DeFino. How you doing today, Chris?
That was a pretty funny opening, as usual, Nando. And to answer your question, I am doing absolutely terrible.
Oh, no.
Absolutely terrible. I'm going to fake it till I make it during this show, Nando, for the next hour. I am in a little bit of a depression. Week 13 was god-awful for me. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong, but we're going to try and put that aside and let's talk about how miserable you are and everything that went wrong.
I mean, we could cheer you up is how I'm thinking about it. Like,
you possibly can't.
No, I doubt you had a lot of 6-6 teams and you needed this win. Well, I mean, I guess the playoffs are different in NFFC, so
yeah,
1 week out of 13, it's not going to completely kill your average, right? Like, that's what you go into the playoffs with, is your average, so...
No,
did you go from like 137 to 134?
No, it's not like that, Nando. I know what you're thinking, but it's just different. You know, like, I was playing for a second league title in a big league, and not only did I lose the head-to-head, but a team that was like 60 points behind me had Darren Waller and passed me for second in points. So I dropped from first in points to third in points.
Oh.
It's a huge money difference in the NFFC when you play in the big leagues. So that happened to me yesterday. Lost multiple online championship leagues in head-to-head matchups. Just a complete disaster. Bad lineup decisions on my part.
But it happens. You stuck with Kyler, I assume?
Yeah, I did. Kyler didn't kill me.
He did all right. He threw some late touchdowns and stuff.
Yeah, you know, I think it was more a matter of, yeah, I had my bad lineups. I had my Christian Kirks in there and doing nothing, and Mike Williams in a couple spots. Derrick Henry killed me, surprisingly.
Who knew?
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that was probably the one thing that hurt me the most, was the two big Derrick Henry teams. But he's been so great. I don't know if we could really complain, but I don't think we saw it coming, you know?
Well, that
not
was
a game
weird...
like that.
Was that this show or was that the Jake show where we talked about how that line was suspiciously high, like a line of 53? And then, I mean,
yeah,
Cleveland...
for the total. Yeah.
If Cleveland didn't do that, like if Cleveland didn't jump out so hard and so fast, it very well could have been a Derrick Henry game.
Yeah, and you know, that was the narrative going in, was it's the Derrick Henry versus Nick Chubb matchup. And this game, I actually heard someone say this is could be the fastest game in the history of the NFL, because all they're going to do is run. The clock will be moving. And then before you know it, was the highest scoring game of the day, pretty much. It was an absolute shootout. And now we see what happens when the Titans are in a game that they get behind a couple scores. Derrick Henry gets, you know, taken out of the game plan. You know, you see a lot more of the kid McNichols, and, you know, Henry spends a little more time on the sideline. He's not in the hurry-up offense. And, you know, it's a disaster for Derrick Henry owners. The one thing I will say, though, is you look at his schedule. We've been talking about it for weeks now. You look at his schedule the next 3 weeks here in the playoffs, and if you have Henry going in, he's in three games that Titans should be favored pretty significantly versus three bad teams, and hopefully the game script is in Derrick Henry's favor. And then you look back at week 13 and say, hey, you know, at least he got his bad game out of the way before he took off in the playoffs.
And so can you just explain really quickly again the NFFC setup? So like your individual leagues are done now, and then the top ones go into the playoffs for the main event title for the big money prize. So you can't.
Yes, that's correct.
So over the next few weeks, like you can't, like you've lost that first place that we've won so many times in baseball together.
yeah, that's over. So you know, that's pretty much what happens when you in the high stakes market, Nando. If you can spend 12 weeks grinding of, you know, doing your fab and setting your lineups and going, and you're married to this team, and then in 1 week You have one bad week in week 13 and you can lose your points lead or your, you know, your record lead, and a lot of money changes hands. You know, a lot of money gets flipped, and that's what happened to me this past week, and it happens. It doesn't matter, you know, how long you've been playing this game. You know, you need a little luck on your side, and luck left me in week 13, but some of these teams still managed to sneak in the playoffs, and hopefully I have a good playoff round. But well, enough about me, Nando.
Well, I was going to say, like, Glenn Lowy doesn't have the Glenn Lowy show. You know, you get the Chris Vaccaro show, so you got things to look forward to.
I guess so. Shout out to Glenn Lowy, won the regular season, you know, title. He finished first overall.
Looks like we picked the wrong high stakes guy for this show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
how many Antonio Gibsons did you have? Like, that was crushing last night, I'm sure. Oh. There's so many, like, yeah, but I mean, like, that was like, oh man, after he'd been so good.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess it's good if you're going to the playoffs, you're kind of like, all right, if it's not, you know, if it's not turf toe, which I think is something that kind of, it's not something you hurt like bang like that in a game. I think it's something that you just kind of happens over time. Hopefully he's just got like a gross toe injury that he can play through, right?
I don't think so. I mean, listen, they ruled him out early. You know, he got the injury. They showed him on the sideline getting his toe wrapped. Remember, this was a Monday game, so now they're going to be working on a short week. He's a running back. He kind of needs his toes and feet. Who knows? Maybe he broke a toe. You know, sprained toe.
But I feel like
I'm not going off anything other than my gut here, Nando. I don't think we see him for a couple weeks or the playoffs at all. I think this is a significant fantasy injury. And I think you need to start making other plans. And if your week 13 was bad and then Monday hit and you had Antonio Gibson, it got a lot worse as you head into the playoffs.
Is this weirdly, I mean, and I know we're in the playoffs where the level's higher. You know, you don't have to, we're not going to talk a lot of these Nando guys that you like to call them because Ty Johnson, who you joked about before the show, is kind of on that line. But is this like Peyton Barber seemed to be, you know, I mean, obviously JD McKissick caught a billion passes, but it seemed like Peyton Barber run, JD McKissick catch was the setup. Is he going to sneak into your waiver list a little bit?
You got to be in a tough position to you know, go get Peyton Barber and start him. But, you know, you might be the Gibson owner. You might be running back needy. You might, you know, there's a lot of facets to the game. At this point in the season, if you could get a running back who's going to get 10-plus carries a game, as much as I don't like Peyton Barber, and I think he's a 2 yards in a cloud of dust type of back. He's going to be on everybody's waiver wire list because assuming Gibson is out, you know, McKissick, my guy McKissick, I know you're going to laugh, Nando, but, you know, you saw what happened for three quarters yesterday. It's a big-time bump up now without Gibson. So McKissick is right back in. He started to fade a little bit, JD McKissick, these last couple of weeks, but you saw what happened with Gibson out. Yesterday, he's a target monster out of the backfield, and I think he's a solid RB2 with Gibson out, if in fact he is.
How about we're talking half point standard leagues? I mean, because he's still going to rack up yardage. It's not all about, like, I mean, the 10 catches is nice, but I mean, if you're getting 70 yards from wherever on the field, that's still something, right? I mean, if you're in a standard league, you get, you know, 20 rushing yards, 70 receiving yards, and the shot at a touchdown, that's, you know.
Yeah, that's 15 points. Absolutely. I mean, I hate the half PPR setup. I do play in a couple home leagues with the half PPR, so it definitely
gives... those savages.
No. I'm just funny. I'm just saying because it hurts guys like that. Where you know, for me in my head, playing in all full point PPR, I'm like, oh, McKissick, good play, good, you know. But I have to, you know, in my head, I have to say, well, you know, a lot of the people listening at home are just playing half PPR, so. You know, ease your expectations on McKissick because if he catches 7-8 balls, you know, it's great for me in my full point PPR leagues. But you know what? That's only 4 points for you guys instead of 8 points in a half point PPR. So it's, you know, he's still going to get his yards and, you know, maybe he gets 3 to 5 carries in a game. You know, his box score would have looked a lot different if he doesn't get stuffed on the 1 yard line. They gave him a goal line carry in the fourth quarter there. He gets stuffed. Peyton Barber runs it in the next play. So, you know, things like that. When you're watching the game, that's a big difference.
Seems like an old school enough coaching staff there too, where they're like, Barber's our guy now. He got in.
Maybe. It's possible.
Are you still helping our friends out with their team?
Yes.
Is that going well? I take a lot of pride in that one.
Yeah, I do. And there's a lot of money on the line in those, and it's been an up and down season. A lot of injuries. I think in one of those leagues I lost the first four picks in my draft, so it's been a struggle. But
just got to get in.
This two of them yes and one of them no.
All right.
So,
speaking of our friends, you angered former major league pitcher Joel Pinheiro this week by not answering his fantasy question, which I thought was rude.
This is great. Yeah, you know what? I know that people want to listen to fantasy and not our background.
This is fantasy. You know, I think stuff, this is pretty...
But I will say this much, okay? Nando has a tendency to always get like his friends like, hey, I'm on a text message. Hey, you know, Chris, answer this guy's, you know, fantasy question. Start
please.
Sick question.
I say please. Which,
and you do say please. And this time it was former Major League Baseball pitcher Joel Pinheiro. I'm sure he's a great guy.
Great guy.
Unfortunately, so we get put in a text chat with Jake and our friend Matt to answer his question. I am in. Let me just set this up. Nando sends this to
Can
us.
Can we please talk about Cam Akers?
Yeah. No, not anymore because you brought this up. Nando goes and sends this text on a Saturday night. Okay. Saturday night as if nobody's like just has a life.
I mean,
Saturday night, I'm in Atlantic City. Okay, I'm sitting at a dinner table in Atlantic City with a girl having dinner. I look at my phone and I get a start sit question. Okay, so no, I did not answer it, and I put it aside and I said, okay, in my head, make a mental note to answer this question for this nice man. Okay. And I'll answer it either later on tonight, but which I never got to. We went to gambling, whatever. And I woke up early the next day to come back home for Sunday morning for football. And I completely forgot all about it until Nando, of course, calls me out on Twitter with Joel Pinheiro.
No, I didn't call you out on
tagged
Twitter.
In the tweet.
I replied to one of your
tweets.
Just
so you have a little background. So, you know what, Joel, if you're listening, now you know why I didn't get back to you. But Jake and Matt did. So I really didn't need to be the third person to answer the question.
Well, you were the fourth. I answered him too. I'm
sure you didn't because you're like, oh, I can't answer your question, even though you reached out to me. I won't.
No,
take
I did.
The
I
blame.
Answered. And I said, look, so I, yeah, exactly.
Go,
that's exactly
go
what
to my fantasy analyst. I know how you operate. Please.
Yeah, I would have felt bad anyway, if I cost him the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to put it on someone else's shoulders? You're like, oh, let me give it to my guys. Anyway, let's talk about Cam Akers and the fact that I am sick to my stomach, Nando. Absolutely sick to my stomach.
Did you have a good time in Atlantic City? Was it fun?
Here we go.
All right, go ahead.
This is typical Nando. No, I didn't. I got killed.
Is this the Cam Akers?
Absolutely crushed.
Cam Akers shoulder injury?
You know what? The Cam, I don't know.
How'd your mom do? Did she win?
Oh, my God. My mom. That's great. Yeah, she had a great time
That's
on the
great.
Slot machines.
All right.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
Cam Akers shoulder injury. Let's go.
I can tell this episode is going to be you just going off the handles, like just completely left or right. We'll talk
about
it.
I'm trying to keep his focus. It's
like
the playoffs. Come on,
12
man.
Minutes. Okay. Anyway, the Cam Akers situation, we won't kill it with the Cam Akers thing. I'll say this. I think Cam Akers is the guy that could be an absolute difference maker in the fantasy playoffs here. I think he's the guy in overall tournaments in the high stakes world. If you had Akers at the back end of your bench for the next 3 weeks, as long as his shoulder injury checks out, I think Akers could be that guy that vaults into an RB1 status and comes out of nowhere, is only on a couple teams, and wins people a lot of money.
You're talking about like 138, two touchdown games, like
yes,
Damian Williams style games.
I just have that feeling. And the reason why I'm sick, Nando, just to bring it back to me for a second. 3 weeks ago, I had a ton of fab
money. Is it because
you
went to Atlantic City in a pandemic?
Oh, my God. And I went to, yes, and I was, and it's very clean down there, just so you know.
I know, man. I know.
I had a choice on the waiver wire. Somebody dropped Cam Akers. And I spent 3 days staring at him as we went into week 11 fab. And I said to myself, okay, there's three really good pieces to add to my team that is in a top five overall in the NFFC. And it was Salvon Ahmed, it was Devontae Booker, and it was Cam Akers. And I said, God, I want all three of these guys to be on my team as I go into the playoff rounds. These were the three guys I wanted to take shots on. And I went back and forth on all three, Nando. And who do you think I chose as the two? Because I had enough money to pick up two, to make two significant bids.
Well, I think we all know the answer to this.
Yeah. I got Ahmed and I got Booker. And I chose to say, all right, I'm not going to get Akers. And Akers went for like 50, 60 bucks only. And it was the wrong decision out of the three.
Out of 1,000, we should clarify. It's 1,000.
Yeah, out of 1,000 budget. And that's honestly what's been bothering me the last 3 days.
Let me ask you this follow-up. Did you put any backup bids on Cam? I mean, were you like, all right, so if I don't get Ahmed, you know, here's my bid 100%. On.
Matter of fact, I would have easily got him. I was like, I bid 200 on Ahmed and got him. I bid like 75 bucks on Booker and 75 on Akers. So I would have got either one, knowing that I would get Booker for 75. But that was the guy that I told you was the guy I was targeting in a lot of my drafts to put on the end of my bench just in case Jacobs went down. Now, right. So, and then everything played out exactly the way I was hoping. A week later, Jacobs gets hurt. I think I have a solid RB2 in Booker, and he pulls a Brian Hill from the week before. Where there's a reason why these guys are backups, Nando. You know, I know they're the nice pieces to say, hey, if the starter goes down, this guy could come off my bench as an RB6 and become an RB2. It seems to not happen more than it happens when the backup comes in and fills in. So we'll see with Booker. I think he might get another shot this week. I think they're hiding that Jacobs ankle injury a little more than led to believe. You know, the reports originally were, you know, Jacobs isn't hurt as bad. But yesterday, Gruden said he'd be surprised if Jacobs is there in week 14. So managers are going to have another dilemma. Do you go back to the well with Booker? I don't think I will. I wasn't happy with his usage. You saw a lot of Jalen Richard mixed in there. It just didn't work out. I know he got the touches, but, you know, it's a tough guy to use. It's a tough guy to trust. You know, he's probably just one of those guys that's better off as a complimentary back than when he has the full, when he's got the full plate in his hand.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
On to the Dolphins, Chris. Interesting team, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah, they're a pretty interesting team, and they play very hard. Offensively, I don't really know, you know, what they are from week to week. But, Gaskin came back and dominated the backfield. Not that he had much competition with everyone else out, including Ahmed, who we talked about.
Yeah.
It's Gaskin's backfield. We talked about this. Now, you know, it's an easy – he won by forfeit. It wasn't like Ahmed's healthy. Gaskin came back, and he dominated the touches like I thought would happen. So, you know, there's no victory lap there. But this is Gaskin's backfield again. He looked good. And, he goes right back into fringe RB1 territory, I feel, going forward.
Wow, so, really? All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think – I mean, listen – it's not because, Gaskin's a superstar. So the amount of touches and snaps he's going to have and the amount of the touches he has, the playing time, and the running back landscape as is. You know, there's not 15 good running backs out there, Nando. So if you can tell me you're going to play 85% of the snaps and get 15-plus touches, you're right there at back end RB1 fringe territory.
You're saying that very confidently. I mean, in the first 20 minutes of this show, we've confidently said Cam Akers is going to be a league winner, yep. and Miles Gaskin's an RB1.
I think Akers and Gaskin are both top 15 running backs the next 3 weeks. So, you know, back end RB1 or, you know, RB2. But these are two guys that were probably sitting on your bench, obviously, for the last, you know, bunch of weeks.
Yeah.
And now you can bring into your starting lineup and you have an advantage over these running back needy teams. It's two more running backs into the pool at the right time.
What if you're rolling into your playoffs with Mike Gesicki?
So Gesicki's the reason why I wanted to talk about this Dolphins offense, because I think he's in now, you know, here's another thing that went wrong on Sunday. I have Gesicki, and I haven't been using him. I'm lucky enough to have some good tight end teams, but he's a backup on a lot of them. But all week long, I was giddy because I had Fitzpatrick. I thought I had, you know, Fitzpatrick starting and the Bengals in a good matchup. And, you know, with Preston Williams still out, the offense all banged up, you know, William Jackson was going to be on Devontae Parker. I had a feeling Parker was in for a long day. I said, this is good. This is a Gesicki game. And I took Gesicki out of three big lineups on Sunday, early Sunday, when they made the announcement that Tua was going to start, because I thought that was just the difference. You know, and a lot of people did, Nando. A lot of people felt downgrade Parker, downgrade Gesicki with Tua coming in.
Right, right.
Over Fitzpatrick. And you know what? I made those moves and it didn't stick. Tua came in and made Gesicki a star again. You know, it made him a, you know, valuable. Gesicki's been terrible all year long. He's been a complete bust as a draft pick. But because of the lack of, you know, targets in this offense, I think Gesicki comes back in, and maybe if you somehow got your Gesicki shares into the playoffs, I think now's the time that he, you know, to turn back to him, and, you know, maybe he finishes up a terrible season strong these next 4 weeks. Weird things happen like that. I believe Gesicki did the same thing last year, if I can remember. You know, didn't do much, finished strong, and that's why everybody was in love with him coming into this draft season. So let's see. I missed that big game, you know, week 13. But he's got some good matchups. He's going to play a high-scoring game here versus the Chiefs in Week 14. And I think Gesicki's trustworthy now going forward.
I don't know.
What?
I just want to keep making you say Gesicki.
Gesicki.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. A lot of talk in the comment section, Nando, this past week about my accent, and a couple of people thinking I was from Boston.
I had a Boston joke lined up for later.
You know, I think when I talk, I think I go on, like, on a little rant or whatever, my accent comes out even worse, so I have to enunciate my words better so I don't sound so New Yorkish or Staten Islandish or whatever. I have
Why?
To make a...
That's what makes you.
I guess so, but yeah. Gesicki.
I've never, you know, like, I've known you for a while.
You're such a child, Nando. Grow up. You keep saying Gesicki a lot.
I've never seen you more offended than when someone suggested you were from Boston. Like, took that to heart.
No, I did not. I just,
like, it ruined your
entire...
by
it. Yeah. I believe me, I've been getting all my life, like, oh, as soon as I speak, it's, oh, you're from New York. You know, like, yeah, I get it. Okay, I have the accent, but, you know... A lot of times in my life, I've gotten, oh, what are you, from Boston? And I'm like, huh? Boston? Like, I don't sound like Marky Mark, you know?
Like, yeah. Guys, you
like
sound
that.
Like Donnie. You sound like Donnie.
Donnie? Yeah.
His brother, yeah. Anyway, it's Gesicki.
Gesicki. I say Gesicki.
You say
Gesicki.
However you want, man.
Yeah. You say tomato, I say tomato.
A real Bostonian pronounces it Gesicki, though.
Okay.
Well, there's someone I follow on Twitter. I don't know. I don't know her real name. It's Gridiron and Wine. It's a gambling account. But she wrote four things I noticed from this last game. And number one was Tua started throwing more 50-50 balls. And Brandon Howard had actually been talking about that in a couple of his columns, where, you know, he wrote that Gesicki was going to benefit from Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he throws more 50-50 balls and Tua doesn't. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe they got to him and said, hey, Tua, you could start throwing some more 50-50 balls. We got some guys who can
Well, actually, I heard an interview saying that what he took from sitting out and watching Fitzpatrick was the fact that he's got to throw it into more tighter windows. And just because a receiver or tight end in this case isn't open when he looks at them doesn't mean he shouldn't throw it there. He's got to, you know, anticipate him being open. So you're kind of right with what you're saying. But, you know, that's what Tua said straight out of his mouth was, you know, he's got to anticipate it a little more. So maybe he's going to start, you know, taking more shots.
Well, it's not me. It's Gridiron and Wine.
Well, shout out to her.
Shout out to Gridiron and Wine. Eagles, what an interesting team, Chris Vaccaro. I mean, are you going to – all right, let me ask you this then. Will you be more confident in playing any of the Eagles if they say Jalen Hurts is our starter?
You know
– will you make any adjustments?
It's a good question, Ando. I've been thinking about this, about what I'm going to do with my Dallas Goedert shares as I head into the playoffs because I anticipate them going to Jalen Hurts and –
That's good. It's actually pronounced Godsicky.
Oh, God.
Go ahead.
Anyway, you people at home see what I have to deal with? Do you people listening realize what I have to deal with?
It's called friendship.
With my friend Nando. It's frustrating, people. So when you say in the comments, why do you sound so... what did I get called last week, Nando? Why do you sound so
perturbed?
No, yeah, like with Nando, like, you know, something like that. Like, it always sounds like I'm pissed off at you or something like that. It's just frustration, people. I love my friend Nando, but he's frustrated.
Feeling
anyway. Yes, I understand. Anyway, with Hurts probably coming back and being, he looked good. So I'm gonna leave my Goddard shares in. I'm going to keep playing Dallas Goedert. A lot of times, what do they say? You know, the backup quarterback comes in, the young rookie quarterback. He leans on his tight end a little more. Yep. Goddard's playing 90% of the share, 90% of the snaps. He's the main guy in this offense, okay? But the whole offense as a whole is terrible. You can't play anybody. Weekly Travis Fulgham update, people at home. How's that doing? Okay, I didn't think so. Moving on. Alshon Jeffrey's a slug. Rieger, you can't trust. You can't play anybody. Zach Ertz, a shell of himself. There's nothing. Miles Sanders, Nando. Miles Sanders went from a first-round RB1 elite pick this season to he's in a three-man backfield. Jordan Howard is getting snaps over this guy. What is
Jordan Howard
Peterson
looked pretty good.
Do?
He looked pretty spry, actually, man.
I picture your fantasy team, Nando, with like a Jordan Howard, Peyton Barber, Frank Gore backfield, like, you know, like with Peterson on the bench, you know, and then you're like, oh, I like this. This is a really unique team. This is good.
You know,
this is really good.
It's pretty good. That's a pretty good impression.
I mean, I try, but nobody does it better, Nando, than Ronas.
That's true.
Anyway, it's Dallas Goedert or
no one does a better Ronas
move on
than you.
From the Eagles offense. That's just the way I see it right now. It's a terrible, terrible fantasy offense. Only rivaled by maybe the Patriots, who I think you can't start anybody on the Patriots offense.
Not even Cam? An act of desperation if you're banking
desperation
on
desperation like, quarterback yeah. play, yeah. I mean, but you know, you're looking, you better hope he runs multiple touchdowns in like he did this past week, or else you're going to be looking at an ugly number.
You know, talking about, you just mentioned it, the rookie quarterback leaning on the tight end. In my head, I'm sitting here like, oh, you know who's not doing that? Justin Herbert with Hunter Henry.
Oh,
but he is.
God.
But he is. Henry's got, I mean, to a degree. Henry's got the second most targets on the team, second most receptions on the team, third most.
Because he doesn't throw to anybody but Keenan Allen, this guy. Yeah. It's yeah, amazing. I know. It's like everyone else is fighting for scraps. So, and it's funny. I'm watching that game the other day, and I'm like, wow, this is nobody. This is another reason Week 13 murdered people was, like, who expected that Chargers offense to bomb that bad? Besides you, Nando. I know you're going to say, oh, I did.
I did. That's your Tyrod Taylor team, yeah.
Yeah. But, oh, my God. Straight up, even Keenan Allen had a bad game, his, you know, first bad game. But just the whole offense bombed out, and you can't trust anybody but Keenan Allen. And, I mean, Eckler you know, gave his 11 points, but he underwhelmed also. I look for them to have a bounce back spot versus Atlanta next week, but man, that really hurt a lot of people. And Hunter Henry's just, the tight end market right now is very ugly. It's starting to get a little better, but I don't know if Hunter Henry cracks the top 12 as a tight end one, you know, anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could trust him.
You know, how about, where's your Evan Engram in your world?
I'd put
is
him
Hunter
right,
Henry?
No. Evan Engram just had a huge game, 7 for 130 last week. He came back this week. That game was really weird versus Seattle. It was an ugly game. You know, just another week 13, ugly game. Yeah. Not a lot of offense. Colt McCoy was there. Sterling Shepard bombs out. There wasn't a lot of targets and passes. I'll give Evan Engram a pass on this week. He still managed, I think it was off the top of my head, like 5 for 35. He was the most, I think he had the most catches on the team. So I'm not worried about Evan Engram. I still have him locked in as a top 8 tight end on a weekly basis going forward. But not worried about him.
I love
Logan Thomas, I think, after seeing him last night. And another reason, if Gibson is out, this Logan Thomas, it can also be a big help at the tight end position.
Yeah, and he can throw too.
Yeah, you know, they do some gimmicks with him. You know, a couple end arounds with him. At Virginia Tech, he was a quarterback, so he might get some fantasy points other ways, but you know, solid tight end.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, how about Darren we Waller. Do a little, yeah, what? Darren Waller.
Oh, what'd you want to do, a little what?
No.
A duet?
Maybe I'll do like top 10 best, draft picks this year from all over the board. Because I'm just thinking of Corey Davis and how, 18th, 19th round of Corey Davis shares is just amazing, working out amazingly for people right now. I know I have a couple teams where I have Corey Davis, and he's basically my wide receiver too right now, Nando. So, things like that. Corey Davis, Cole Beasley, guys like this are locked into wide receiver two spots, and they were taken pretty late in drafts.
Cole Beasley's one of the, like, I mean, of course, it was Cole Beasley and Dede Westbrook had 100-plus targets the last couple
night
of years.
Day.
But it's crazy. I mean, And I know it's not the same thing and absolutely not the same player in the same system, but it's kind of strange how those paths diverge. Like, Dede Westbrook was a healthy scratch for the first 5 weeks before they put him on IR after finally letting him play. And Cole Beasley has just continued to grow in that Buffalo system as a 100-target guy, basically.
Yeah, and I think the arrow just points up, and this will be a weekly thing for Cole Beasley now with John Brown out for probably the rest of the season. Gabe Davis came in and you know, pretty much played the John Brown role last night and put up some solid numbers. But, I mean, Cole Beasley's just a PPR monster. I love this Bills offense so much. And I think we saw, another flipping of the backfield after Zach Moss fumbled a couple times last night. We didn't see him again. And Singletary got, I think, 21 touches. So, add another running back. You know, Singletary's been unplayable for a while now. And if you have him at the back end of your bench, he might be playable these next couple of weeks if he's going to be getting 15-plus touches as well. So add him to the list of guys that you might be putting into your starting lineup.
So you mocked me last night and you mocked me this morning for wanting to talk about Ty Johnson. But what's the difference between Devin
that's
Singletary?
That's your third Ty Johnson reference this show, I'm keeping track.
He shows up.
What's the difference? The
me.
Difference is, well, listen, Frank Gore got banged up. Frank Gore isn't out for the season.
Zach Moss.
No, I know, but he's in the doghouse because of fumbling issues. Frank Gore isn't in the doghouse. Frank Gore got a concussion. I know, but I mean, Frank Gore could show up on the practice field on Thursday and, you know, add to the fact that P. Ryan, they targeted him for a week 14 return, so you don't know what happens later on in the week in practice. If he comes back in a week or two, listen, Ty Johnson's going to stay on the field. Yeah, is he going to play, I think, 80% of the snap? No. I don't know what his role is going to be. He'll be on waiver wire ad list this week, but, I mean, is he another guy that people are going to rush to the wire, pick him up, put him in the lineup, and he's going to bomb with a three-point performance? They're going out to Seattle this week. After that, they have the Rams. I'm not starting any running back versus the Rams with Aaron Donald on that D-line in week 15. So if you're going to start him in week 14 versus Seattle, whose defense is slightly improving out there, good luck to you. I know I'm not recommending him to anybody, but you could start him along with Peyton Barber in your lineups.
No, I'm not saying you start him. I'm just saying, like,
what do you do with him? What do you want to do with him?
You have the option on your bench.
He's definitely in consideration on waiver wire list. Yes,
that's all, man. Man, I'm not saying like you start this guy. He's amazing. Let's get him.
Shat. Condolences to all you people out there that played against Darren Waller in Week 13, as I did in about half of my leagues that I had. Was going for league titles or whatever. For whatever reason, he was like the number one player that I was playing against, most owned, I guess, across leagues. And of course, he has the 50-point game. So just needed to get that out there. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
I think I figured this out. There's an old Calabrese saying that was taught to me as a younger lad, and I'm not going to get it right, but it was something like Fortuna in giochi, sfortuna innamorata. Which, I mean, because you can flip it, I guess, for you, is fortuna innamorata, sfortuna in giochi.
So we teach Italian on this show, too, people. So, stick around for the fantasy football advice, and you also get an Italian lesson.
Well, it means fortunate in love, unfortunate in games. And I think what happened was you cursed yourself by having a wild Saturday night in Atlantic City with a lady. and totally ruin your fantasy football chances. I'm gonna make you a mouse pad with that saying, just to remind you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and add it to my collection of mouse pads that you have given me. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, there's only one other mouse pad,
which is one of the best gifts ever given. So that was very creative. Good stuff.
Let's finish this up with a couple running backs who I think are very interesting, and I guess you start, but I think the question is, how confident do you feel when you're starting them? David Montgomery, who's on a roll, and Wayne Gallman. It does not. I mean, Devontae Freeman on the IR doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. Also, now on the COVID IR on top of the IR.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
This is the Wayne Gallman show going forward. And man, oh man, I mean. People talk about James Robinson, about, like he's been the, depending on your league, the waiver wire ad in the beginning of the season, or the, you know, taking him late in drafts. And he has been. He's obviously the number one guy. I don't know how far behind Wayne Gallman is on that list of great pickups, because Gallman is entrenched now as an every week starter. And every time I look up, I own no Wayne Gallman shares, but when I play teams, it's like, he has, you know, they'll have Gallman in, and I'll be like, oh, that's good. I want to see Gallman on my opposing team, you know? And at the end of the day, he's got 18 fantasy points.
Yeah.
So he's just solid, you know? He's just a solid top 15 running back. I think you'll see him on a lot of top 12, you know, rankings this week. I think that's where we're at now. I think he's another one. And I know I hate to be repetitive because I'm talking about all these running backs that are RB1s and everything like that. We're just hitting on guys that I think are top 12, 15 running backs going forward. And Gallman is in that list. And Montgomery, for this upcoming week, with the volume he's getting in that Bears offense, you know, he gets the Houston Texans in Chicago in week 14. You roll Montgomery right back out there, and you had 75 yards, played a big role, scores, you know, gets in the end zone. I look for, you know, a nice 15-20 point Montgomery game again this week. So if you have Montgomery, boom, he's locked right into your lineup again. So a couple nice running backs right there, Nando.
You know, I did a lot of research on Montgomery, man, like 5 weeks, right, like a week before the trade deadline. Yeah. And he'd had like everything you wanted, except he wasn't breaking these runs. You know, his yards per carry was kind of low.
Yeah.
That line.
There's so much hate in the Montgomery fantasy world. There really
is.
I do. I mean, he's a slug. He just never lives up to the hype, you know, no matter the opportunity.
But he's getting destroyed. So he led the NFL in yards after contact and broken tackles. So like they were getting through the line and getting to him, and it was like if he could just break like a long one, and he did 2 weeks ago. He broke like that 60-something yard run.
Yeah,
you know, he second level. You know, he took it to the second level.
Yeah, and then got caught from behind.
Well, you know,
I think
what?
That's a, you know, there's no breakaway speed, but you know what? Who cares if you're getting 15, 20 touches and giving me 75, 80 rushing yards, and you get in the end zone, you mix in a couple touches. That's what I'm looking for nowadays. You know, and for all you people that don't have the big time backs, you need a collection of these guys to throw out there. You need a Wayne Gallman, Montgomery backfield, stuff like that. You know, Jonathan Taylor's another one that's now starting to have a little revival. You could add him into the mix of running back. We're starting to get some help here at the running back position at the right time.
Yeah, and it's what a weird. I mean, maybe we'll dedicate one of these shows in a couple weeks to what a weird. You invented the zero RB theory.
I don't know about that. But
really? Or is it because the Associated Press reported that a few years ago?
Yes, they did.
That's true. That's actually true.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, the point is, the more we talk about these guys, the more it seems like maybe that's the way to go. Maybe, I mean...
What do you mean?
Like, just to all these running, I mean, it sounds like dumb because we've been saying it for years. And then this year, everyone's like, the tide turned, man. You got to get one of those top running backs.
Okay. All right. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't think it.
You got to guess
right. I had this conversation with someone about a week ago. They were like, oh, you know, so what was the right strategy this year? Was it, you know, go heavy running back early and then hit on your receivers? Or was it zero RB strategy? Was it take your quarterback early? Every year usually has a, you know, strategy. You know what's real quiet on the late QB strategy this year? You know, all quiet on that front. You know, the last couple of years, everybody's been like, oh, you know, just wait on your quarterback. It's not important. Nobody cares. Well, I mean, you know, the Cam Newton drafters in the first couple of weeks were like, see, that's why you do that.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. You know, I guess Justin Herbert, I always struggle to say his last name for whatever. I always say Herbert or whatever.
Oh, you got it. You're right. It's Herbert.
You know, you pick him up in the middle of the season off the wire, you know, great, you got lucky, and he's been mostly solid. And obviously the answer to this question is Aaron Rodgers this year because he was going so late. You know, so you had a couple guys. You're always going to have a couple guys. My argument with the strategy is this. Tell me before the draft starts in late August and September who those late round quarterbacks are going to be. Don't just say, oh, just take any quarterback late and you'll be fine. No, you've been getting murdered all year long. Every quarterback that was drafted late, late sucks. And on a weekly basis.
Well, Daniel Jones is coming on for a little while before.
No, he isn't. No, he isn't. No, not at all. Fantasy wise, no. He's been useless. You know, you get a couple good Kirk Cousins weeks. So when you look at the overall season, you look back like, yeah, you know, you could have streamed Cousins and picked up Herbert. Yeah, it's easier said than done.
Right.
Exactly. It's easier said than done. Can you get your hands on whatever quarterback you want? It's not like that. And if you play in competitive leagues, it's like a joke to, you know, it's a joke. You can't just go to the wire, you know, you can't just go to the wire, pick up any quarterback and be like, it doesn't matter here, because you get stuck with your 8-point gains from these scrub quarterbacks. So that strategy never works for me. That's why I always try and get, you know, a really solid quarterback. And I don't think that strategy worked. But as for the other strategies, the zero RB strategy, I don't think worked. And now, you know, people might argue back on that and go, well, hey, look at fifth round, fourth round through seventh round, that receiver position. You could have, you know, hit on Allen and Diggs and all these guys and Metcalf in the fourth. Yeah, if you got the big time running backs early and then hit on those guys, yeah. But in the middle rounds of drafts, if you went zero RB and started with a Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill, you're having a huge year if you got a James Robinson. It all depends. There was no right answer for what strategy worked this year. It's still up in the air. I don't think any particular strategy worked because you really couldn't find that many great running backs in the middle of drafts this year.
Yeah, maybe the strategy is just get your guys, get your value, build a good team, and then adjust on the fly.
I just think it was scattered this year. You know, you had your big-time hits at the wide receiver position early on with guys like I just said, Hopkins and Hill and Adams, and then you had your hits in the middle of the rounds at receiver too. But, you know, you needed the big backs this year, and, you know, you could only really find them early on this season unless you are the James Robinson owner.
Yeah. And you would have known that if you read The Athletic. Emery Hunt told you to do that.
There you go.
There you go. Old friend Emery Hunt. On that note, I'm going to let you get back to moping.
Yeah, I'll be doing that for a couple of days. Until the playoffs start, and then it's got to get going.
All right, so in 2 days.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you got friends. You got friends.
Yeah, I'll call you always, later on.
You can
I'll
text
call you
Joel.
Later on just to be like, Darren Waller, why, Nando? Why did he do that?
Say, Chris, listen. Well, I don't know what I would tell you, but you know, you got the best wings in New York. You got friends.
You
were this close.
Me.
You were this close to being friends with Joel Pinheiro.
You know what? You would tell me when I call you later and I cry about Darren Waller doing what he did to me. You would say that Italian saying. How is it again?
You could say fortuna in giochi, sfortuna in amarate.
There you go.
That's like straight Calabrese dialect. So. I mean, you know, you mumble some words in the middle and, you know, leave off a couple letters. But you can run it through Google Translate. Fortunate in love, unfortunate in games.
Yes.
Or lucky in love, unlucky in games. That's it. You one or the other. You don't get both.
Oh, you don't get both?
No, that's the whole point of the saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's the entire point that I was making.
Thank you for the lesson. Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
All right, thanks. I appreciate that. On that note, thank you, everybody, for joining us for another. Oh, man, we should get the ChrisVaccaroShow.com. Get that up and running. Everyone needs a show website, right? The Athletic Fantasy Podcast, the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Shout out to Roman. Shout out to Manscaped. Big shout out to DLF, Jeff Haverlack, for doing some great work with us and great work on the site. Chris Vaccaro, sorry. We'll get back on it next week, and we'll have a happy Vaccaro with some playoff wins.
Yeah, I'll be in better spirits hopefully next week, everyone. And good luck in starting the playoffs here in week 14. Let's get it going.
Shout out to our producer Michael Beller. We'll see you all. Well, you'll be listening to some new people tomorrow. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.